You are very welcome to a rather subdued Big Red Bench on this All-Ireland Sunday. It's Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you for the next hour to get you all the reaction to what has to be said was an incredible game between Cork and Clare. Absolutely breathless end-to-end stuff from both teams. Let's get into it, will we? We are, of course, starting with Gaelic Games, where Cork have suffered the heartbreak of a single point loss to Clare in the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Final. After normal and added time, the final scoreline was Cork 134 to Clare 329. And as I said, we will get you plenty of post-match reaction on the show this evening. The second round of the Sports Direct Men's FAI Cup continues today. They've just kicked off at the Brandywell, where Derry City are hosting St Pat's, while Sligo Rovers have welcomed Cove Wanderers to the showgrounds, also for a 6pm kickoff. Earlier on, UCD beat Gorey Rangers 4-0 away from home, while Shelburne were 1-0 winners over Bray Wanderers at the Carlisle grounds, and Wexford enjoyed a 3-1 win over Wayside Celtic. Meanwhile, Ballyfermot United beat Corkside Leeds 3-1. In Formula 1, there was a dramatic 1-2 finish for McLaren at the Hungarian Grand Prix this afternoon. Oscar Piastri took his maiden F1 Grand Prix victory after a lengthy team radio discussion to set up a positional swap with his teammate Lando Norris. Lewis Hamilton took the final place on the podium for Mercedes. And finally, in golf, Shane Lowry is playing his final round at the Open Championship. He is 3 under par with one hole left to play, leaving the Offaly native 4 under for the tournament and in a tie for 4th place. Padraig Harrington finished up on 4 under par for his final round. American Xander Schauffele leads now by 2 on 8 under. Meanwhile, Tom McKibben finished up on 12 over par, and Darren Clark was 15 over. Now, we may be back and forth on the Croke Park news this afternoon because the game has literally just finished with all of the added time and the extras that went on there at the end. So we may be back and forth. We're going to try and get a chat with Ger McCarthy, who was at Croke Park for the Big Red Bench. Hopefully we will be able to hear him when we eventually get connected with him. But wind that fantastic win for the Irish ladies soccer team on Tuesday night against France. There were over 18,000 supporters at Super Valley Parky Cueve to see the girls in green earn a brilliant 3-1 win, and I'm glad to say that I was one of them. The atmosphere in that second half and after the full time whistle in particular was absolutely incredible. Such a great moment for the girls, and how amazing as well that we got to host them for that win in Cork. Not just that, but hometown hero Denise O'Sullivan was the first person to find the back of the net in that game, and the place absolutely erupted. Let's hear from her now. She was speaking to Rory Hagan after the game.
Denise, how special was tonight?
Oh, unbelievable. I think first and foremost to get 3 points against a world-class team is absolutely phenomenal, but to get on the score sheet was really special. Colin Healy said it to me before the game. He said, Denise, I think you're going to score tonight. And I smiled and I said, I will. And for it to come and to play in Cork, it's been over 11 years. It's a city that I've grown up in. It's a city that has done a lot for me in my journey, and to have my family in the crowd was very special.
Had you ever played in Parky Cueve before, Ski in the Skull or anything like that?
No, I haven't. I did play Ski in the Skull, but not in Parky Cueve. So it's been a long time since I've been here, and we came to train here yesterday, and I was really impressed with how they had the pitch. It was a great surface. They've credit to them. They've had it really nicely for us. So it was really nice.
But even just being back in Cork for, like, you know, your match week must have been very extra special.
Oh, it was so special. Yeah, the last few days. I mean, I'm 10 minutes from my house. I had a car, and I could bop up and see my mum and me living.
Home last night on the team hotel?
Yeah. I had to still full focus on the team, but I was definitely able to see my family a lot more, and it's even more nice when I'm in America and I don't get to see them much.
What's that feeling like running out the tunnel and park at Cueve and seeing a sold out house?
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, there's 18,000 there tonight, and sounded like it was more because the fans were so loud. They were singing, they were cheering, so we do appreciate that support, and I hope we do come back to Cork, because the atmosphere is out there is absolutely rocking, and they deserve to see more games, more Irish games in Cork.
Talk us through your goal.
Yeah, I think Patsy just hit a long ball to relieve pressure, and I think it went down to Julianne maybe on the edge of the box. I just stayed a bit wide to get that ball off her, and took a touch, looked up, see the keeper in the middle, and just hit it at bottom corner is where I wanted it to go, and luckily it went there, and yeah, it was really special.
I don't think I've ever heard a roar like that after a goal. Could you hear it?
Yeah, I think I just zoned out, honestly. It was like, yeah, it was just really special, and I couldn't believe that I had scored here. It was just written in the stars to do so, but it was unbelievable.
And the thing about the goal, it wasn't against throwing the play at all.
What's that?
It wasn't against throwing the play. You fully deserved to go ahead.
Yeah, 100%. I think we caused them a lot of problems in the first half, especially down the channels, down the wings, where Julianne and Leanne were making runs. So we did create chances. We could have been up a goal or two in the first half, and I think we did deserve to score that first goal. And once we did score, I think that gave us more belief and more confidence to go on and score more.
And what about Julianne? What a story.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah, I was just talking about it, to have her back in the camp. She's such a great person, and she brings us something very different to other players. Her energy, she's fit, she's fast, and then her willingness to shoot the ball and finish. Unbelievable. Yeah, we're happy to have her here.
Eileen was saying there that she progressed nicely throughout the campaign. Do you feel that as well?
I do, yeah, definitely. I think we had to be realistic in this campaign. We've come up against world-class players. We knew it was going to be really tough, and you never want to go out and lose every single game in a campaign, but I think as the campaign went on, we grew belief, and we knew that the win was coming, and luckily it came here in Cork tonight.
Exactly, yeah. As I say, you love to play in Cork, obviously, again, with that kind of crowd and that kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, I would love to play in Cork. I think it should be spread out more often and not always in Dublin. I mean, it should be spread out, yeah, and I think Cork is fantastic. There was a great vibe around the hotel and with the team the last few days, and the whole of Cork came out to support 18,000 of them, and we could really hear them tonight, so we really appreciate it. And look, every time we put on the green jersey, we want to go out and do the best, and I hope we've done that tonight.
Do you get to celebrate in Cork tonight, or what's the crack?
I'd say I'm just going to see the family now. I'm flying back to America in a few days, so I think most importantly, just get some downtime with them before I get back into season again and won't see them for a while.
Excellent, Denise. Thanks and trust.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, we are going to try and chat to Ger McCarthy now, who, as I mentioned, is in Croke Park. Ger, can you hear us?
I can, Sarah. Can you hear me?
I can. Thankfully, we've got good audio. Ger, I mean, it's truly heartbreaking. I can only imagine. Can you just describe what that game felt like to be there in person?
We might need the rest of the show, to be quite honest. I have never been at a sporting occasion. The roller coaster cliche that you hear about being on a roller coaster at sporting occasions, well, that was it today. Mm. What a game of hurling. What a game to witness in person. What an atmosphere. All that's good about the GAA, let's be honest, first about, you know, and be down the line about it. I don't think Cork deserved to lose. I think they deserved another day out, but that doesn't matter anymore, because when it came down to it, Clare's more experienced bench, I think, just in the second period of extra time, got them over the line. And even amidst all of that, Robbie O'Flynn had a chance right at the death, and had it gone over, we'd have been back and doing it all over again. I think that would have been the fairest result, but let's take nothing away from Clare. The commitment from both panels, I've never seen so many players, you know, being brought off the sideline. They needed to, because players were going down with cramp, and that was before extra time even started. What an effort, what an occasion. Today was screened live on BBC, and that's trending at the moment over in England, that people are saying, what the hell is this thing? Well, it's probably one of the best games in the world. Today was Clare's day, and congratulations to them. Heartbreak for Cork and for Pat Ryan, though, because right at the death, they could have forced a replay. Wasn't to be, and you'd have to have a heart of stone not to be happy for Clare, and especially for Tony Kelly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you kind of mentioned it there, but they left everything out on the pitch. The level of determination and fight. And they came out all guns blazing. They were up 1-7 to 3 points at one point, but they did clear, obviously, as you said, partially thanks to Tony Kelly, came back into it. I mean, how would you describe the effort that it took from Cork to come back so many times?
Yeah, I think that shouldn't be forgotten today, and it's a very good point, because, you know, Tony Kelly would grab the headlines, Clare would grab the headlines, Aidan McCarthy, the back line as well. I thought the Clare backs today were the difference. They played superbly. That half back line, Jim O'Brien, John Connell and David McInerney, were brilliant throughout. But Cork, even when it looked like they were dead and buried, they just kept finding a way. They just kept clawing, and that's testament to the management. I think it's testament to their conditioning that they were able to hang with Clare right to the end. It's just very hard. It's hard to pick out a player like Kieran Joyce, had a fantastic game. Mark Homer, one of his best games in a Cork jersey, and yet he ends up on the losing side. Dara Fitzgibbon was full on the whole day with Dave Fitzgerald and Colm Rowan against him in midfield. Timmy Manley the same. It's just so much happened in the last 3 hours. I mean, the goal, Tony Kelly's goal, like, there'll be kids all over the world attempting that.
Incredible.
His point when he was falling back off balance on one foot with a defender in his face, and he still scored. The guy is amazing. He's magical. And look, Clare took the opportunities in extra time, so they deserve to win the game. I just felt on the day, you know, the effort that Cork put in, the effort that they put in all year, I thought maybe they were just destined to win it, and the momentum that they carried in from beating Limerick twice. But you can't really argue, like, when it comes down to the final seconds, it's the team that puts the ball over the bar and the team that doesn't. That's what decides it. And unfortunately for Cork, that's what happened today. Clare won it, but just
by the finest of margins, unfortunately. I think as well, maybe a mention for the Cork defensive effort, because Clare seemed to find, you know, they'd obviously done their homework, they seemed to find a lot of joy and success in making really hard, strong runs at that back line, and there were a couple of serious saves that had to be put in. You know, Clare did score 3 goals, but there definitely could have been more if it weren't for the defensive effort.
Yeah, Owen Downey, Kieran Joyce, Clare going off the line, Patrick Collins made a great save, Owen Downey the same, and at the opposite end, look, Robbie O'Flynn had a chance. I think Brian Hayes had a goal chance, and like Patrick Horgan was nearly in at one stage as well. It was just a game full of goals and opportunities and end-to-end stuff. But you're right, the Cork defence was under pressure all day. Like, they lost Shawnee Donoghue with injury there, and I thought he was a big loss even down the stretch of extra time. He could have done with his experience. But there's nothing new. There's no one player you could pinpoint on the Cork team and say they didn't have a great day. Every single one of them. And the players that came off the bench as well. Mm. You know, Ethan Toomey, Jack O'Connor certainly made his presence felt. Shane Kingston, you know, he came in, and Robbie O'Flynn, I feel sorry for Robbie, because, you know, he'll be remembered for that last second shot that just went wide, but he's the one that went up and clutched us from the skies. And I've even forgotten about the goal at the very start of the game when Robert Downey collected it and ran the length of the pitch and forwarded. So much happened, so much the effort the Cork put into it. It's just unfortunate for them that they're on the losing side, because I do, you know, anyone, either team could have won it today, and it's just unfortunate for Cork that Clare got over the line.
Yeah, you have to say, I think beyond, obviously, initially, there'll be heartbreak for Pat Ryan and his team, but surely they have to be very proud of the season that their guys have put in.
Yes, 100%. And look, I hope Cork supporters, when the disappointment subsides, remember where we were. We were on the verge of going out of the championship until we came back late and beat the All-Ireland champions in Parkhead-Cueve. And then the 65 that wasn't between Clare and Waterford, on the same day we went down to Tipperary and beat them. We went on a fantastic run of, was it 5-6 consecutive wins, something we hadn't ever done in the senior championship before. This team is here, is going to be around for a while. There's a lot of very, very good young players on that panel. Now look at all the players that came on today. Jerm Elric, as I said, Ethan Toomey, like Jack O'Connor, Shane Kingston, they're all, and Robbie O'Flynn, they'll all be pushing for starting places next year. But heartbreak, if I could just, like, heartbreak for Seamus Harnady and for Patrick Horgan. What did these guys have to do with winning Celtic Cross? How close can you come? Heartbreak, heartbreak, heartbreak. But look, the future is still bright. We've proven, and Pat Ryan has proven, that he's savvy enough to get this team to the business end of the All-Ireland Championship. They just need to be able to take that extra step now. But look, it'll shorten the winter, this magical season. We'll be disappointed, but I think when people reflect on all the joy that this Cork team has brought us this year in Cork, we'll be very thankful for it, and we'll go again next year.
Absolutely. If we showed nothing else today, we showed how resilient we can be, and I think that's going to be key going forward, like you said. Ger, thank you so much for joining us here on the Big Red Bench, and safe home this evening.
No problem. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, you could hear it there in Dura's voice, just the exhaustion, and even on the RTE coverage, I mean, it was truly breathless and just an incredible game. Many, many people, including those that were there from previous All-Ireland wins, saying that it was the best game of hurling that they'd ever witnessed, and it'd be hard to argue with that. Now, I had gone into chatting about the Ireland v France game briefly there just before we spoke to Dara, and we heard already from Denise O'Sullivan. Let's hear now from Julianne Russell, who was the second Irish goal scorer before Anna Patton made it a trio of goals. Here's the Galway woman speaking after the match.
I just said I'd cut in, and I've been playing left wing for years, and I just said I'd strike with my left, and into the top corner went. Happy days.
So what did the Cork crowd mean? Look, obviously they played a vital role tonight. The fans were electric from start to finish, and that's obviously a great thing.
Oh my God, they were absolutely unbelievable. I think we need to have more games down in Cork after that. What a crowd for a Tuesday evening. I think it was, I heard 18,000 or something. It's a credit to Cork, and they produced so many amazing footballers, and let's just keep this momentum going.
Evan, look, the goal for Denise meant a lot to her. You can see it, the emotion was there, but look, it's great to see a hometown girl score in a hometown.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Denise is a true, true professional, and she took the goal so well. I was just so happy for her, and you could see it in her eyes and expression and everything, and yeah, it's brilliant.
Julianne, can you just describe the moments on the field favourite roles?
Really, really emotional. She just turned one there a couple of weeks ago, and I never thought I'd be playing with Ireland again, to be honest. So to get that call from Eileen was amazing. I can't really describe the feeling. And then to get minutes, I suppose, the last day, and then to start today, it just seems like it's all a dream, to be honest, at the moment. I think I need a few days to reflect and to take it all in, and I'm just so proud. I'm buzzing.
And you're hoping to plan to be away from her maybe for a few weeks next summer?
Pardon?
Maybe you might be away from her a few weeks next summer if you can.
Hopefully. I think we'll bring her with us if we go. She's the camp baby now, so we'll see.
But a nice moment whenever you ran over to the team and everyone did her celebration with you.
Yeah, it's going to be iconic now, I think. It's brilliant. We've been messing, doing it all week, and to get another goal and be able to do it again was just special.
I actually spotted some of the hardcore supporters in the stands doing it as well as we were running, so it's not just her.
Brilliant.
How will you reflect on this once you've had like a couple of days after coming into camp, scoring those goals, getting the assist? I mean, it's going to take a while to come back down, but then I suppose you have to, because there's league games coming up too.
I know, yeah. I'm actually back to work as well on Thursday, so
Julianne's boss, maybe give her a day off, please.
No, yeah, if he's watching this. But yeah, no, I suppose we're back to the grind then with Galway United. We have a cup final or a semi final next week against Wexford, so another big game. So I'll go back to training on Thursday with Galway and go again.
No expectations from them now with the goals that you've scored.
Wexford are a quality team, so yeah, I'm looking forward to that game.
What part of Cork is your dad
from? He's from Albert Road in the city. Okay. And my relations live in Douglas now at the moment.
That's about a 10-minute walk from here, is it?
My geography's not great, but I think it's close enough. Yeah.
He enjoyed that song.
He absolutely did. I spotted him in the crowd and he was beaming with joy.
And of course, we have to hear from the team's manager as well. She was understandably delighted after the win and is definitely in favour of coming back to Cork, which I know we would all love to see happen as well. Here's Eileen Gleeson.
Yeah, first half we thought we created two, maybe three good chances that a bit better decision making, then we could have had a real effort on goal. And the second half I thought, we were well worth the win. Some good finishes, some good support play, and then for the most part solid defensively. So yeah, we're very happy.
Look, it was an energetic side. The side looked fresh, and that's a good thing moving forward.
It's great. I mean, Julianne Leanne gave us real legs up top, offered us the runs, were prepared to press, prepared to hassle, pick up the seconds, and Yeah, I think everybody really worked hard tonight and, you know, well deserved win.
Great to go back to Cork.
Tell you what, we've had the best time in Cork, so for sure. I mean, we've had it since the moment we arrived, the reception, hotel, the stadium, everybody across the city. And when we drove in here tonight, it was a really proud moment for us on the bus. Like, people were chasing the bus, clapping, kids, and it was fantastic. So we really felt that support. We heard everybody here tonight, and it really did make a difference. So why not?
Eileen, what was the difference tonight in that we were able to let loose in a way we haven't really seen ourselves in the group stages? I mean, 3 goals, it's pretty impressive.
It is, and I think it's been a progression and a pathway from the start of the group. We knew obviously the group was going to be super difficult to draw that we got, and you know, we spoke about this in our team meeting tonight, and obviously we're getting a lot of you know, comments around we didn't create chances and we were defensive. We were playing best teams in the world, and we had to learn how to manage that and how to deal with that. And I think as the campaign has gone on, for, you know, started with fans, ended with fans, we were 5-4-1 deep, absorbing a lot of pressure in the first game against fans, working really well without the ball. And we tried to, you know, move up the pitch, and we saw that against Sweden at home. England last week, we had much better phases in possession, created more chances, better in transition, and tonight we finished them off. So I think, you know, it's a good progression, and we want to keep that moving forward. So
a word for the goal scorers, Denise, obviously coming home, it was the perfectly written story. I think everyone in the press box was smiling, they're like, headline sorted. And then of course Julianne popping up, another brilliant story, and a first goal for Anna Patton too.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, I'm delighted for the three of the girls, you know. And Denise, of course, at home Cork, so you couldn't write the story, and the cheer was, you know, it was really spine tingling, really. And then Julie on the score sheet again, so we got to do another baby Rosie, and then Anna finishing off. So yeah, it was really good moments for the girls.
What was your feeling on the sidelines watching those goals come in? Because as you say, it has been a slog to get to this point, and scoring the goals has been the thing that we've talked about the most.
Yeah, well like for me, through the campaign, we've been realistic about, you know, the level of opposition that we're playing against, and we knew we'd have, you know, few chances in these games. But tonight, yeah, I was like, it is, of course, it's a sign of the progress and that we can be up there. And I do think, like, the personnel, and I do think Julianne and Leanne, they gave us those options tonight. They ran those. The girls put the balls in there for them, and yeah, they finished them off. The build up to the first goal, thought Denise's goal, excellent, like, and yeah, so very happy with it.
I know it's a bit away, but the draw on Friday is on the horizon. I assume you'll take a day or two to calm down and enjoy this win, or even a night, but thoughts ahead of Friday?
Yeah, I mean, it's the draw, so tonight I'll be lying down for the next 2 days and then we go again. But yeah, no, I mean, what was super important for us was to get the seeded place, and we always, since I've come in, we haven't talked about winning Nations League. We've always thought, you know, or you know, specifically qualifying as the top two, we've always talked about qualifying for Euros 2025 and what that pathway. So we were always talking about that. And yeah, that's what we'll be waiting to see, what the next phase of that, you know, progress and pathway is. So I'm looking forward to it.
Now, it was a tough day for the Cork LGFA team yesterday as they lost to Galway in the TG Cahir All-Ireland Ladies Senior Football Championship semi-final. The full-time score was Cork 10 points to Galway 2-7. Dermot McCarthy was there to speak with Cork camp after the game. We'll hear first from Cork manager Shane Ronan, along with Emma Cleary and Cork captain Mauro Callan.
Okay, Shane Ronan, obviously, look, heartbreaking disappointment to get to an All-Ireland semi-final and not to get over the line. Was it the 2 goals just before half-time, or what was it today that saw Galway just about edge it?
Yeah, look, I think the goal before half-time was a killer. And I suppose we spoke all week about not conceding goals. They got two. And we've been creating goal chances all year. We didn't get them today. You know, and I suppose our scoring rate went down as well. You know, we were probably over line on Gaelic Cork. So, look, very disappointing. I think a bit of fear there, I think, Jar, for long periods of the game. Maybe our inexperience caught us. You know, Galway's players, they're a bit more experienced. They didn't play with as much fear as our girls did. But they learned from today, I hope. You know, it's bitterly disappointing. You know, start of the year, you offered us this, we'd probably take it because of whatever we lost. But when you have a great opportunity like we had today, and we're very disappointed, it's probably our poorest display overall since the National League. And you know, I suppose, look, I think we might have played the occasion, not the opponents, and that happens sometimes with a young team. Look, it can happen to any team, and so look, just to dust ourselves down and go again.
A lot of people will look at the final score and say it was a 3-point defeat, but the way you and your management team have turned the squad around since the National League struggles, when you had so many players transitioned in, does that give you a sense of pride though with the way you've come back? It didn't happen today, yes, but the way you've bounced back this year.
Yeah, look, absolutely, does huge, I suppose, satisfaction and the progress we've made. But look, ultimately we're Cork, we're winners, we don't want to be going out in semi-finals, but I think look, we'll look back and we'll review it and see what needs to be done. You know, who knows what's happening next year? We don't know ourselves yet. But I think, look, players have been developed. There's more good minors coming through. I think we're in a good spot. Hopefully we'll learn from today.
I think you will. Hopefully you'll still be at the helm next year. I know it's very early and very raw to be asking that, but a lot of people will want to see you there and will want this management team, the way you've brought this team on. It's evening out at the top table in senior football. You've seen that as well this year. There's still hope for this Cork setup and underage as well, and definitely going into next year there's lots to build on, Shane.
Yeah, look, my term is up now, Jara, once you see tonight, today, I suppose. But like, we'll certainly be looking to go forward again. I think we've assembled a very good management team, you know, and we'll hopefully we'll get another go at it, but look, that's not for me to decide, you know. And I think, look, hopefully whoever's in charge is going to drive them on, because there's a huge team there, great backroom team, great players there, more coming through, you know, and I think lots to build on.
Well, on behalf of everybody, Cork Shed FM, Big Red Bench, you've been an absolute gentleman. So it's not just this year, but the last couple of years. I hope to see you back next year, and thanks for all your help this year.
Thanks very much, York. And I just wish Pat Ryan and all the horrors the very best luck tomorrow. We'll be all in Dublin roaring, man.
Excellent stuff. Cleary, thank you first of all for talking to us here on the Big Red Bench. I know how difficult it is on the pitch after losing All-Ireland semi-final, losing out by 3 points, but you know, just those two goals before half-time gave you too much to do?
Yeah, probably. The two goals really were the killer, I suppose, especially the one before half-time, and I probably thought the penalty was a bit harsh myself, but look, you get those breaks someday and others you don't, and unfortunately we didn't get those today.
Doesn't feel like it now, but you've come such a long way with this, a very, very young panel, a lot of players coming onto it this year. Big transitional time for Cork senior football. I know it's not much solace, but the fact that you got to the semi-final, does that give you hope for the future?
Yeah, definitely. I think, look, we didn't have a great start to the year, so I think we're happy with how far we've progressed. We would have absolutely loved to be in an All-Ireland final, but look, we'll hopefully use this going forward and use this experience, especially, I think, semi-finals, the more experience you get of them, the better, so hopefully we can use this going forward.
Great support here today. You've had great support all year from your diehard supporters, and they'll be with you again next year.
Yeah, look, definitely. There was loads of Cork fans in the crowd there. I think it helped now with the hurling tomorrow. I think a few came this evening to go on to the game tomorrow. So look, we'll be hoping for more of that going forward next year.
Okay, Mauro Callan, Cork captain, obviously bitter disappointment, losing out to Galway at the penultimate stage, having come so far, hard to take, I know, and a difficult time for you and the players.
Yeah, we're really disappointed. I think it was there to be won, and I feel like a lot of things went against us today, a lot of dodgy decisions in both halves. So look, we're very disappointed. There was only a kick of the ball in it, and I feel like we were battling an uphill battle from start to finish, really, to be honest.
Yeah, it was a very different game to the last against Waterford, the way it was refereed and the way, you know, tackles were judged. But that's clearly frustrating you.
Yeah, I think, look, I'll have to eventually watch it back when we're ready, but there was a lot of very, very sceptical decisions, in my own opinion anyway, personally. But look, that's life, isn't it? And we'll just drive on again and learn what we can from it. Obviously very disappointing, but look, best luck to Galway and whoever they end up playing in the final.
As difficult as it is to talk about it right now, how far the squad has come, to all those young players that have come onto the panel since the beginning and the end of the National League, there is a bright future for Cork football when you're getting to semi-finals, but I know that's not going to be much solace right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, if you're looking for positives, 100%, you know, this year has been very challenging for the whole squad and management, and I think we've learned so much this year, and definitely will be huge experience gained for all the players across the board. So look, that'll definitely aid us going forward, but like, tricky to see that side of it now. But definitely, look, if you're trying to be optimistic about it, that 100% is a very good positive for the squad.
Mara, thanks for everything, and thanks for everything you've done for us this year in Red FM. We really appreciate it. Mind yourself.
Thanks, sir. The Big Red
Bench with Bord Gáis for Second half of the show with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship. It is Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you until 7pm. Let's get you another full-time report from Croke Park. Tommy Rooney was also there for Off the Ball.
It is full time after extra time in Croke Park, and Clare have won the 2024 All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship title after an exhilarating final against Cork by a point on a scoreline of 329 to 135. We were 11 at 112 apiece at half time. We were 11 at full time, 321 to 127. We were level once more at half time and extra time. But in the last 5 minutes of the second half of extra time, Clare took over. It was sparked by a wonderful Aoife Quinlegan save, stopping Robbie O'Flynn, then Tony Kelly, Aidan McCarthy and Shane Meehan, but Clare 4-3. Cork responded with 3 points from the incredible Patrick Horgan, but their last effort of the game trailed wide, and Clare secured Liam McCarthy for the fifth time ever. The game toed and froed throughout. At times we thought Cork had ended their 19-year famine. For much of the second half, Liam McCarthy looked bound to go west of Shannon to County Clare for the winter. Tony Kelly scored one of the most remarkable goals we've ever seen in Croke Park, and it will be remembered forever as he went on to lift the All-Ireland title as captain. Full-time score after extra time in Croke Park, and it's Clare who have won the 2024 All-Ireland title by a point, 329 to 135.
Okay, we're going to chat about the Cork City Sports now, because they took place a couple of weeks ago at the track at MTU, and yet again, the hardest working man in sports, Ger McCarthy, was there to speak to two Cork athletes who are not only participating in the sports, but who are also going to be on the plane to Paris with Team Ireland for the Olympics very, very soon. I am, of course, talking about Phil Healy and Nicola Tuttle. We'll hear first from Phil and then from Nicola.
Okay, first of all, what does it feel like to come to the Cork City Sports and such a huge crowd here tonight and to put in that performance? It's a fantastic atmosphere all evening.
Oh, it's unbelievable. No matter what shape I come to Cork City Sports, this year's where I've been very, very bad shape, but Cork City Sports always brings out the best in me, I suppose. Coming home, running in front of a home crowd. I've travelled to silver meets, gold meets. You never have a crowd like this. And this is a bronze meet, so it's a credit to the local support, people who've travelled from all over Ireland to come and support our Irish athletes. A credit to the Cork City Sports Committee for getting the international fields. Like, you had someone that won a Diamond League in that race. You never, never have that in a bronze cavalry meet. So, like, it brings the best out in everyone, and I'm really, really happy.
Family are here tonight, all from Knockheedy, from Ballineen. Is everybody here?
Everybody's here. Friends, family, the whole shebang. They wouldn't miss it. So, no, it's super to come home, to be able to have home support. I've travelled all over Europe this season to be able to come 5 minutes within the track. Like, it's, yeah, it's super.
Talk to me about, I don't want to go back over all ground, we've had a fantastic performance in the Stadio Olimpico. The team ethic within that relay group, not just the four, but the group, very, very important, apart from obviously the fantastic running that you did.
So, so important. Like, there's a squad there of 6 to 7 that travel for the major championships. Obviously in Rome we had a certain 6, in Bahamas a few weeks earlier, there was different members on that team, so it constantly is changing. That shows the depth in Irish athletics over 400 metres sprinting. It's brilliant to see. Like, even if you look at, if you rewind back to Tokyo, when we had the mixed relay, so it was only 3 girls going, 52-6 was the last spot that made the sub. I think this time to make the sub, to be in the top 7, you had to run 52-6. So things have really changed in Irish athletics over 400 metres, but no, it is, it's a credit to the coaches to create such a bond and create an atmosphere within the team. We get on so, so well. We now have a national record of 3:22. That national record for the exact same team in Europeans 2 years ago was 3:26. So, like, we've come a long, long way, and we're certainly not done yet.
Physically, you're in top shape. Mentally, I don't think, I don't know you, but I've interviewed you a few times. You are where you want to be heading into Paris?
Oh, absolutely. Like, to come away with a season's best today, obviously not the most ideal conditions, as in, yes, we had a plus win, but it is very, very cold. So, no, I'm really, really happy with that. Obviously, I just missed the individual spot for Tokyo by something like 3 points, which is absolutely nothing. So, I suppose that was a little bit disappointing, because I did get there individually in the 200 and 400 last year, or last time. But after a really tough 2 years, both mentally and physically, to be that close, like, if you ask me this time last year, I was retiring from the sport. I just had enough of it. I wasn't enjoying it. I was in a bad place. So to come away and be a two-time Olympian is very, very special, and this one means a lot to me.
Can I just ask you about Joan? Because I got a chance to interview Joan during her career. Just as lovely, just as determined, just as talented as yourself. When she took the step
Wait, had that any influence on you?
Yeah, she definitely had, I suppose, a very hard career in terms of injury. But I suppose Joan led the way. I certainly wasn't someone that was a young star in the sport. I only joined the sport because of her. And I joined it when I was something like 11 or 12. It wasn't until I was 18 that I actually properly focused on the sport. So I suppose if it wasn't for Joan, I wouldn't be in the sport. And then I suppose when I started to, I suppose, improve and go on the international stage, she had a lot of injuries, but I was the reason that she stayed in the sport. So it definitely has worked both ways. We're still on the same team that has the 4x1 national record back in 2018. So that is very special. And she handed in, she was running the first leg, I was running the second leg. It was a special day. If it went wrong, it was going to go wrong between us. So no, look, it was hard for her to, I suppose, step back, but she'll definitely enjoy it, and she will certainly be someone that will be coaching the Irish relay team in time.
Brilliant. Crow Park last week, at this past weekend, I can't even get near the players. You get a player pass, you're in the tunnel. Yeah. Talk to me about something like that. Does it take things off your mind and just immerse yourself in something totally different?
Yeah, when I was asked to be a part of it, I jumped at it. Like, it's something you're never going to experience. And like being in the tunnel, seeing the Cork team come out. When I went onto the pitch, it was about 15 minutes before the start of the game. The stadium wasn't full, but it was definitely half or three quarters full. The buzz was insane. I was like, if I was out there running, it would just bring you to whole other levels. So being there, it's very lucky I got 5-star treatment in the GA suite after. So no, it was unbelievable to watch the game, and what a performance by Cork right to the very end. It was super to see, and super to see the support. So it is going to be great for the county and inspire all the younger kids. I can imagine the younger kids that are out poking that ball over the last 2 days, and what will be for the next few weeks and the summers ahead. So credit to that team fighting to the very end. I suppose when they are, get that, as all athletes, when you get that backlash when you don't perform, but I suppose you have to stick with it. You know what you're capable of, and they pulled it out when they knew they could pull it out.
All the very best in France. The whole country's behind you.
Super, thanks a million.
Nicola Tuttle, talk to me about the Cork City Sports, how important it is, and such a massive crowd here tonight and on your home territory as well performing.
Yeah, no, it's so important. This is my first year competing in the Cork City Sports, so I've always watched it as a child, so really nice to be able to come up and to make the podium against like a world-class field. You know, the meet record was broken and everything, so it was a really, really strong field, yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's been a really positive evening for you, and getting on that podium and rubbing shoulders with some serious, serious hitters, it must be fantastic momentum for your career.
Yeah, definitely. I think like the girls I was against are amazing, so to be able to hop up on that podium next to them was really, really nice. Yeah.
Is it difficult to take to block out the atmosphere, because this is a much bigger crowd on home territory than you would normally be used to?
It's definitely a lot bigger than I'd be used to, especially because I'm from Cork, so it's so good to see. I think it drives everyone on, and it's really nice to see that everyone's down here, and all the juvenile athletes as well around the place. It's lovely to see, and they're watching everyone, and there's so many of them doing so well, especially like in even field events. It's great to see that they're coming up and up the whole time.
And what happens from here on in? What's next for you on the horizon?
Just keep training, and then the Olympics is pending, so hopefully, keep training and get out there soon, yeah.
It's obviously the ultimate goal, but you're still so young and so new, relatively new to this sport. As much as we would love to see you in Paris, there's a longer-term career here no matter what happens in the next couple of months.
Yeah, like I'm only 20, so I'm the youngest on that start list for Paris. So, you know, the rankings, I was in the rankings there last Tuesday. They updated them after they closed, so really exciting. Yeah, I just have to... All the official confirmation will be during the week. But
a lot of excitement at home too, I would imagine, on the cusp of something so fantastic.
Definitely all really excited to be able to go out there now. It'll be pretty cool, yeah.
Okay, well, all the very best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk soccer for a few minutes now. Cork City's men's team were in action against Finn Harps yesterday, and it was Finn Harps who came out on top by 1-0 in that game. City's boss, Tim Clancy, shared his post-match reaction. Let's have a listen to that now.
Again, we were poor. I thought we lacked a spark today with the game Wednesday, so we had them in, I think, 6 days in a row, which probably looked like that out there in the pitch. Then it was probably a little bit warm, a bit sticky, but I thought we looked a little bit flat, so we'll think about what we're doing over the weekend. Might give them an extended break, maybe ease off and train on Monday to try and get them a little bit more energetic, and then go again for next Friday against Kerry.
Yeah, another clean sheet and another good goal to win it, wasn't it? Good finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, like, listen, again, I think we've been finding ourselves getting to the final third and trying to score the perfect goal by passing it and these little 1-2s, and yeah, it looks great when it comes off, but we're not shooting. You don't score unless you shoot, and Mal gets a good goal, picks up in the pocket, scores a good strike and finish, and then again he gets about a minute later in the same position and we try a little reverse pass, and I think Cahill at the end cut a shot and he tried to play it to Harvey who was behind him, and Evan had a chance to start the second half, he tried to play it to Murph and didn't connect the pass, so there's frustrations there, and we can see it in the players themselves that they feel it as well. So yeah, listen, we'll look at now recovery over the weekend as we normally do, and we'll probably ease off a little bit on Monday for next Friday against Kerry, who we watched last night against Cove, and you can see the progression they're making and the energy they have in their team, and they're looking very good at the minute. So
just watching today's game, like, there was a lot of ball from your side over the top, was that a kind of a plan like against Finn Harps, like, it didn't kind of work, so then there was a lot of ball over the top?
Listen we looked how to press this last week, and they pressed very well against us and stopped us playing out, so to start the game off we wanted just to bypass the press into Murph, and we needed to get bodies around him a bit more. We didn't get too many around him, but I thought the use of the ball from the centre backs was actually a lot better than it has been probably. I still think we can move a little bit quicker, but yeah, that was more or less to try and stretch the game a little bit more and then get players on. But listen, we've a lot of positives as well. We get Mal getting a good goal. We have Sean Murray back on the pitch after missing a few weeks. Harvey come on again and done quite well. First thing he does is chests it, turns, slips Jack in, and Jack puts one past the post. And I think I'm looking back at the game. I'll have to watch it back again, but I can't remember him having a shot at goal on target anyway. In first half, Greg has one that he puts over the bar from the back post area, and Jack's had one past the post. Carl has gone 1-1 and didn't make contact with that one, and Barry Coffey has one at the end as well, he's put past the post from a really good goal scoring opportunity. So yeah, there's a lot of positives there to get into their positions. We look at it now. Listen, we're in the hat now for the next round.
Yeah, 1,300 spectators. Would you forgive them tonight with what's going on tomorrow? Maybe a lot of your fans are heading to Dublin.
Yeah, I'd imagine it's going to be a big crowd going to Dublin for the hurling. And again, it's not easy financially for a lot of people. So it's a really warm day. It's a cup game against a team we played 6 days ago or 7 days ago. So it's a lot to ask for people to turn up all the time. And the support that we've had home and away this season has been brilliant. And you see the shed singing from start to finish again. And you can listen, again, we're in the hat now. We're hoping we can get a favourable draw on Tuesday. And we'll give it right lash again in the next round.
Well done tonight, then.
Cheers, Rob.
You put Malik in a more central area and he got the goal there. What was the thinking behind that?
Just with being thinking of stretching the game a little bit further and bypassing their press. We're looking for knockdowns off Murph, and Mal's a ball carrier, so if he picks up in that area of the pitch, he can go past the player. And he's got pace to take players on, and there he came on against Stoke there in the second half on Wednesday, and I thought he was excellent as well. He was gliding past players, so he has that ability to go past the player from the central area as well as the wide area, and he's got a good strike on him to finish as well. So we've seen that in the first half, and it's just trying to get more and more out of him all. He missed pre-season, he came back after a long time out, so he's still finding his feet, and listen, he's a very talented boy, and he's got a lot of attributes that are going to be good going forward.
And I suppose
okay, we have got some reaction audio through from Pat Ryan, so we're going to go ahead and take a listen to that now.
Pat, hard luck. Jesus Christ.
So that's the first five questions are embargoed. Or sorry, after the first five questions.
Just for tomorrow. Sorry.
So the first five questions are online. I think you're going to need to realize.
Hello.
That was remarkable. You must be exhausted, but can you give us your
your reaction to this incredible game of hurling?
Look, obviously, bitterly disappointed. More for us, we come up here to win today, and look, we didn't get over the line, didn't get it done. All credit to Clare. Do you know what I mean? They performed fantastically, and look, probably just about deserved their victory in the end.
You started incredibly well. Clare kind of pulled themselves back into it, but the game to'd and fro'd so many different times. Can you put your finger and make sense of where it was won or lost?
We probably didn't take enough goal chances that we created. I think that's the kind of we probably had another 4 or 5 goal chances except for the one that we did take, and we needed to take them. Do you know, when that was probably where the game lay in.
I
suppose sometimes you'd say no, but I suppose from our point of view, look, our job is to represent our county, represent the jersey, represent the people who come up here paying hard money to come up to Dublin, and I think the lads did that. So look, the lads can be very proud of what they performed in, like, but at the same time, look, we came up here to win. We didn't. We lick our wounds. We, you know, celebrate Clare. They'll have a great couple of days. We'll have a sad couple of days, and fellas will go back to their clubs, and we'll try and regroup and see where that takes us.
What did you think changed in the first half?
To be honest, we left too many shot puckouts. We gave them too many shot puckouts, and they worked the ball out, and we lost our shape inside the full forward line trying to tackle from behind. And, you know, just gave them too many shot puckouts in the first half, and they worked them out very well. I think the stats were very good in that. The stats on the long puckouts probably weren't as good in the first half, and we just gave them too many sharp puckouts, and we lost our shape, and that's what the game kind of they got back into. But look, there was loads of ebbs and flows in the game over the period of time. So look, they did a lot of good things that struggled us. We did some things that struggled them as well. So but look, obviously disappointed.
Did you feel you should have had a penalty and a black card towards the end of normal time?
Look, sure, I'm back in the opposite 45 of the team. It looked like it. I don't think that affected it. Obviously there's a couple of decisions go your ways and don't go your ways, but look, at the end of the day, Clare the champions, and we won't be giving out about any of that stuff.
Do you think we're all English, Barry? The chance at the end, do you think we're all English, Barry?
I think somebody said that to me. To be honest, I didn't see it. Look, I suppose, yeah, look, I don't look, as I said, look, that's can't do nothing about it now. We just have to move on and see where we go.
You seem to have mentioned the extra time, haven't traded for so long.
Shot selection. Yeah, I think our shot selection was probably actually right. We just bad execution more than anything. We had a couple of opportunities to take scores and didn't take them. And look, at that stage, we got into that last bit. Every score was vital. Just gives you that bit of momentum, but look, as I said, I think over the 90 minutes or whatever it was played, probably over 100 and odd minutes, we just missed too many goal opportunities. We had a couple of great goal opportunities that we didn't take and didn't give the last final ball better. And I think that was probably our undoing.
No, look, as I said, we
came in and our job was to win in Ireland, and that was our job. We came up here to win it. So that's 2 years now we haven't won the All-Ireland, so that's a disappointment from our side of things. But from my own point of view, I'm just very proud of the way the lads are representing the jersey at the moment and the way that they're playing for the jersey, and that is key. You know, I suppose we're a very pro county with a pro tradition, and a lot of pro players have gone before us, and it is key that those lads would represent the jersey in that manner, and I think they did today. Obviously we could have played better and could have done different things, and we might have made a few better decisions ourselves on the line and stuff like that, but you'll always look at that. But I think the lads can hold their heads up high and be as proud of their performance, but at the same time, we go home without a trophy, and that's disappointing.
Yeah, couldn't put it better than Pat Ryan there. In fairness, he's given a very level-headed summation of the game, despite the emotions that are obviously there underneath. I'm going to finish the show this evening by having a quick chat about the Hungarian Grand Prix, because it was a strange one. If you're a McLaren fan, I think you'll be feeling a little bit conflicted, because they had a 1-2. They had a double podium. It was Oscar Piastri's first ever Formula One Grand Prix win, but it didn't come easy. It really didn't come easy. Now, he didn't start on pole. His teammate Lando Norris did, and that may have been a bad omen in itself, because the pole sitter at the Hungarian Grand Prix has failed to win on the last three, now four, occasions. And there was a big swing also between the weather that the drivers qualified in on Saturday, which was kind of on and off rainy, versus today, which was dry and quite hot. So things were, the conditions were definitely changeable across the course of the weekend. With that being said, Piastri did get a better start, fair and square, in comparison to Lando Norris, and he ultimately was not given the best pit stop positioning, and that is what really did it for McLaren in the end, as far as the strategy and the driver management, which I think everyone would have to agree has left a lot to be desired. And in the end, there was a 3.5 second gap between Lando Norris in P1 and Oscar Piastri in P2, where McLaren felt that it was more fair for Piastri to take the win. And they began a long, long string of team radio messages to Lando appealing to his better nature, reminding him of conversations that were had in team meetings as recently as this morning. And it really became quite awkward. And it did sound like Andrea Stella, possibly McLaren boss, was going to have to get involved here directly on the radio. In the end, Norris agreed to let Piastri pass. He literally had to slow right down on the track to allow the gap to close down for Oscar to pass him with just two laps remaining. So he did. He left it until late, but ultimately he played the team game. He wasn't really left a huge amount of choice, to be fair. But having all of those messages broadcast over global Sky Sports and the other Formula One broadcasters, it leaves a lot to be desired from the strategy and management teams, as I mentioned. And even when he came on over the radio, for someone who has just won his first Formula One Grand Prix, Oscar Piastri sounded pretty underwhelmed and not as excited as you definitely should be, which is a real shame, because he did drive a great race, but just was put in that very, very awkward position. It'll be interesting to see where that ends up, because those two drivers are not going anywhere out of that team soon, as far as we know. And also because McLaren are the team on the up and up. So if they plan to continue winning Grand Prix and scoring podiums, they're going to have to find a better route around their driver management, because today was kind of an example of what not to do, unfortunately. And luckily for them, it didn't affect them in terms of the points scored. But on a different day, on a different track, who knows? Verstappen, meanwhile, was hampered by many frustrations. Again, team radio came through clutch as a very entertaining part of the Grand Prix today. And he was complaining about many, many things on his car, about the strategy from his pit wall, about Lewis Hamilton, who he had an incident with that was investigated after the race, I should say, but there was no further action, to the point where he was called childish over the radio by his race engineer. So as I say, if you missed the race and you're looking for highlights, definitely do go and check them out if you're wondering whether it's worth it or not. I would highly recommend. But in the meantime, that is everything I've got time for this evening, folks. Thanks for bearing with me as we were back and forth with the reaction from Croke Park to that result today in the All-Ireland Hurling Final. I hope that everyone who was there from Cork has a very safe trip home. Thank you as always for tuning into the Sunday edition of the Big Red Bench with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship. It has been Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you for the last hour. I hope you are able to enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and in the meantime, stay tuned for Green